Blog Talk Radio.
I shoot the lights out until it's bright out. Oh, just another lonely night. Are you willing to sacrifice your life?
Bitch, I'm a monster, no good blood sucker. Fat motherfucker, now look who's in trouble. As you run through my jungle, all you hear is rumble. Kanye West sample, Sims 1 for example.
Gossip, nigga, just stop it. Everybody know I'ma need to see your fucking hands at the concert. I'ma need to see your fucking hands at the concert. Profit, nigga, I get it. Everybody know I'm a motherfucking monster. I'ma need to see your fucking hands.
Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone.
Another one.
Yeah, what up?
Louie, are you driving? Lou? Buddy?
No.
Buddy? Hey, Mick, how are you?
What's going on?
Diet Coke. Also, an order of chicken nuggets. Barbecue.
This bastard is ordering food on our show.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Wendy's.
You're eating Wendy's?
Yeah, listen, man, my wife's gonna hanging out with her mom. What am I gonna do? I gotta eat. I'm so dependent on this woman already. What's going on?
Yeah, she put like, what? You ate Taco Bell for lunch.
What are you into?
Jesus Christ. All right, well, we're going to ignore Lou for a minute. Well, welcome to the show. This and that, I don't care. Who are you? Mick, you got anything in particular to talk about?
That was funny when you said that. It sounded like I had a bright idea. Not really. The things I would talk about, nobody would care about, so I don't know.
I don't care if it's something I care about or not. We'll just make fun of you while you talk about it. Got some sports bullshit to talk about?
Let's talk about how we don't care. How about that?
How about what?
Well, we talk about how we don't care.
Yeah. Well, Mick, why don't you tell us what's going on with A-Rod? I'm actually interested to hear this. Did they trade Rios
really?
To Soriano?
Wait, what?
Did they trade A-Rod for Soriano?
No, they didn't trade A-Rod. They traded a minor league pitcher. But they basically are trying to get out of their contract with A-Rod, so they basically told him to wait. They claim he has a quad injury, which I don't buy at this point. I think they're just trying to wait. See when his suspension gets handed down, which will probably be sometime this week. At which point,
why does everybody in New York hate A-Rod? Why do they hate him so much?
He's so fucking rich and does so little work.
Yeah, well, that's why I hate him. And he's still.
He's
a fucking cheater. Dude's on steroids.
Yeah, he's just so like. Disingenuous. Like, listen, I'm sure a lot of us would have done the same thing in his situation, in his shoes, but he's just such like a barmy kind of guy and thinks above everybody else. And I think everybody's just tired of Zach by now. It was one thing when he was one of the best players in the league that you could put up with it, but now that he's kind of on the downswing and basically sucks, and I don't think anybody else wants to put up with it anymore. Plus the fact that he's still making $100 million for the next 3 years, and he's like a shell of his former self with or without steroids. So I don't think anybody can support at this point.
Well, listen.
So would you say that he was a
good abuse of your body and should pump yourself with a bunch of shit?
Yeah, I mean seriously, if he's going to be paid that much money, they should force steroids on him to continue being a cheating mess. Like, he should have to take steroids.
Yeah, I don't know. They're cracking down now. They just suspended the guy who won the MVP 2 years ago. They suspended him for the rest of the year. So
I think that's bullshit.
front out there that they're cracking down. But, I mean, we all know that it's never going to be clean. I know you and I have had a discussion of how it would be better with the steroids, but apparently they just want to clean it up. I'm not exactly sure because, point, it is what it is, but...
I really don't understand why that... Like, what's it... Like, seriously, how many... Like, here's the difference between steroids baseball and non-steroids baseball. Non-steroids baseball has been happening for, like, 100 years.
Right.
Like, nothing is going to happen in baseball that hasn't happened already. Like, except maybe the Indians winning. Like, that's, I mean, at this point, really, like, all of the excitement about baseball, yeah, somebody might win and there may be some close plays and shit like that, but... I mean, really, like, it's the same shit over and over again. Just different people doing the same shit. People hitting balls, people missing balls, people running around a fucking base. Like, it's the same shit. But if you give them crazy performance-enhancing drugs, like, those will be exciting games. Like, we'll see people sprouting
astronomical scores for baseball.
Exactly.
You know?
Or maybe somebody with some crazy, you know, genetic-changing drug use will leap up into the air and sprout wings and fly up and catch the ball, you know, 100 feet off the ground. I mean, that's the kind of shit that we need to start seeing in baseball. It's the same shit over and over again. I don't see any reason why we can't not just say okay to steroids, say okay to everything. You want to do cocaine and whatever? I want people's heads to explode on the field. Like, I want everybody to turn into Daryl Strawberry on the field.
Well,
like, that's got to happen.
Babe Ruth had the record for how long? Like, 60 years? You know, whatever record he had.
He had it for at least 50 years until Hank Aaron had it.
Welcome, Christy Peterson. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Sorry. I'm just coming back to the pool with my kids. I'm on my way home.
Nice. What's talking about? Oh, no cursing in front of the kids.
Do you have bikini pictures? I mean, what's going on here? Like, that's what you're here for.
Oh,
make a bikini picture?
I didn't take any bikini pictures, but I guess I can hop on the webcam.
That's it.
So what are you guys talking
about? She's all talk.
Sports and shit.
We're talking about how baseball should have performance enhancing drugs in it because baseball has been like boring for about 30 years. Like nothing new has been happening in baseball.
Nobody cares about baseball. However,
I'm
going
to teach my kids. If they're going to try to clean it up, they can't. I mean, they have to hit. If they're going to do this, which again, I'm not necessarily saying I'm agreeing with it, but if they're going to do it, they can't just suspend the player because, like in the case of Ryan Braun, the guy who got suspended last week, he lost like $3 million for this year, but he still has a $114 million contract. So what is the pain of, you know, getting suspended and missing out on $3 million versus $100 million in bank?
It's the same mentality that keeps, like, what's a real punishment for somebody like swindling people on Wall Street? Like they get a company dumping toxic chemicals into a residential area. Like they pay the government money and then they go back to business as usual. It's like, okay, you found us out. We just have to, like, they actually plan this stuff into their budgets now. Because like the fines cost less than actually cleaning shit up the right way.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, recalls and all that stuff. Were you telling me yesterday that Iceland prosecuted the?
Yeah, like the whichever one of those crazy Slavic countries went bankrupt. I think it was Iceland. Iceland or Greece. One of those two places. They prosecuted like the head of the bank. Yeah.
It was Iceland. Yeah.
Greece went bankrupt.
Or is it Greenland?
Greenland, Iceland. I know Greece went bankrupt too, but I think one of those countries decided to prosecute their
Viking people,
their bank leaders, which is like a great idea. That's perfect.
Oh really? Though. Come up with a stupid policy.
There's really no accountability.
You know what? Listen,
like no.
You get somebody in the hood robs a gas station for a few hundred bucks. Max $1,000, right? He goes to jail for 20 years for armed robbery, or 15, right? These people commit a crime, that affects the entire world, causing rippling effects that cannot be even tabulated or computed, you know what I mean? Just because economics, you know, you're broke, you become an asshole, and you treat your kids like shit, which, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, they get slapped on the wrist, a fine perhaps. They lose no money, no jail time, and it has a far more reaching
You rob a gas station, you affect that guy's business, and that business affects him and his one or two employees, if he has any, and possibly his family. So armed robbery of a gas station, you're affecting maybe tops 10 people. Martha Stewart, for example, who participated in insider trading, and that guy goes away for what, like 20 years for armed robbery? She participates in insider trading. Yeah, exactly. She participates in insider trading, which fucks up the prices of stocks for all of the shareholders in her company, fucks up everything about that entire business and how it operates, and they have to make changes and decisions and who's hired and fired. So you're talking about, you know, by proxy, maybe 1,000 people. And she did what, a year in jail? A year in, like, a minimum security federal prison?
I think more than 1,000, but yeah, it's ridiculous.
Get inside and get the bathtub.
Well, I was being conservative in my estimate. You know, I'm just talking about, like, the lower-level employees and their families. That's, you know, maybe 1,000 people altogether and their finances. And she did, if even a year. I don't remember her being in jail that long. And it was minimum security, and everybody loved her, and she got to do whatever she wanted. I mean, the penalties for people who commit crimes that affect a really large number of people are a joke.
Right.
It's not like she's never allowed to get back into business again either.
She could go back to
insider trading like yesterday.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For double dealing.
Please don't have me yell at you on the radio. Please don't. Get in there and do it.
You should totally yell at your kids on the radio.
I don't want to be that black woman.
You should actually give your kid another phone, and you guys should have an argument on the air.
Like, my kids think they're slick. You know, they have this thing that they call a smibber cow, and I swear to God, they're making fun of me every time.
A what? Like,
is that the towel that you wet and you put on your back of your neck?
I don't know what it is, but they're calling me it, and they think it's hilarious.
A snicker cow?
Nibber.
Nipper?
Not a schmibber.
A nipper cow. Well, that's cute. It's real cute. And they're calling you that. Well, I mean, clearly you're not beating your children enough. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I need to lay the hammer down.
I know if I called my mom some shit, even if it was a ridiculous Dr. Seuss made-up word, like, she'd beat me. And rightly so. I mean, who wants to be... Anybody ever liked being called something that they don't know what it means? Like, did you know what a pussy fart was when you were in second grade? And if somebody calls you that, like, did that feel good? No. You don't know what it is. It's probably something bad.
I got in trouble.
Whatever it is, they think it's hilarious. They think it's the funniest thing in the world. It's an inside joke, and I swear they're making fun of me. And then they have their own little kid swears, like Muglet, I know, is motherfucker in kid terms. My son, when he plays his video game, he loves Mario Kart, and when he plays that and Bowser fucks him over at the finish line, he says, "You dirty Muglet." So I'm thinking that has to be motherfucker.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, that's just wrong on so many levels. You have to teach him how to speak proper English. I mean, teach him the word motherfucker so he knows what to properly say.
Motherfucker. See, that I don't know why, but that reminds me. When I was a kid, second grade, I told this black kid, his name was Amadou, or Armadou, something like that. And I said, "Your mama." And as any, you know, black male, is very protective of their mom, proceeded to beat the shit out of me. Punch me, and I think I even went down, if I remember correctly. No, the teacher reprimanded, "Hey, don't do that, you know, don't beat up that white-looking Puerto Rican kid." And, you know,
See,
years later, I thought...
Black...
Yeah.
That's how the black community rolls. We see a kid fuck it up. We don't care whose it is. We're going to beat their ass.
So, you know, and rightfully so, I said to your mama. But I did remember that afterwards, there was this other, actually, white Puerto Rican kid that was giving me shit, and he stood up for me, protecting my ass, so this bigger kid than both of us. So, has nothing related to the story, but someday someone's going to say your mama to your kids, and they're going to defend you.
Oh, they already got it. They got your mama jokes down pat. You know what I'm saying? They can crack on anybody. Yeah. Look at their mama.
We were in Mount Vernon, where Mike lives. And what was the name of the place? The Dyslexia Center, apparently?
The Dole Center. The Dole Center,
the
yeah.
The Dole's Center, with an S, I believe. So I saw a D and an S at the end, and I thought it was the Dis Center. I was like, what? People get together and...
So you thought, like, in the middle of the ghetto, there's a place where black kids get together and snap on each other. He thought it was a center for dissing contests. Because apparently, having lived in the Bronx all of his life, he doesn't remember that these things don't exist. Because the Bronx is so much different than the city right next to it, which is Mount Vernon.
I don't know, man. I was just dreaming. I was hoping.
Yeah, no, you were lost in Puerto Rican thought. Mick, what were you saying about saying some shit about some names when you were a kid? I thought you were going to say something about that.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying that I called this girl a rectum in fifth grade, and I got in trouble.
A rectum?
You called him what?
And I got in trouble. The teacher yelled at me.
For calling him what?
I called this girl a rectum.
Well, that's pretty... The teacher should have given you credit for knowing that word in second grade. That's,
you should have gotten
extra
credit if you
know. I think I just learned it. I think we were talking about it in health or something, and then, like, I called this girl the same thing. I called this girl, like, an hour later or whatever.
That's fantastic, though. I applaud you, my friend.
Yeah.
I applaud you.
Okay.
If I were your teacher, I'd have been like, check out the big brain on Mick. You're going to be a bald motherfucker when you grow up. That brain of yours is so big. That would have been precious.
But do you guys want to hear what happened at my grandma's funeral?
Yeah, might as well.
Okay. So we get
your grandma passed away, right?
Yeah, my grandma's the one that passed away. You know, she was real endeared to my heart. But, you know, it's whatever. She was old and things were failing on her. It was just bound to happen. Unfortunately, my mom, you know, my family didn't take her off of life support when they should have.
Was there some drama, though? Black people drama? Please tell me.
Oh, that was after the funeral. So we get back to the house. And we're in South Carolina. We boil crabs and have, like, pots of chicken and, you know, we do it up big.
You guys boil your crabs? Does that get rid of them?
No, stupid. You actually eat them.
You eat your own crabs? That's disgusting.
Not pubic lice, okay? Does everything have to be pubic lice?
Doesn't it?
No, not everything has to be pubic lice, but crabs are pubic lice.
Not actual crabs that you find from farms.
I know. Joe's Crab Shack. Let's go. Come on, finish your fucking story.
Let's do this.
Okay, so we're drinking and stuff. And it's no secret that me and my mom don't get along. Now, my mom, she paid for my way up there, paid for the hotel and everything for, like, all of me and my brothers and sisters. Great. Well, she kept pissing me off throughout the whole trip. And she said something to me, and I ended up just, like, letting her have it in front of, like, my great uncles, all kids, family. I was a big, sloppy mess.
This is the same
so
one
that
tried to choke you, no?
Yes, it's the only mother I have.
Yeah.
So wait, so what happened? So you guys are eating crabs, right? Somebody boiled crabs and you're eating them and you don't get along with your mother, and then what?
She said something to me, and it was the straw that broke the camel's back. Something like, you need to go check on your kids. You've been absentee mom this whole weekend. Now, when I get there... you know, when I get there, the kids, all they want to do is see their cousins and play and do their thing, play on swing sets. They had nothing to do with me. I'm not studying them. They're not studying me. So whatever. And she's like, I was being an absentee mom the whole weekend. And I just, you know, I let little cracks like that to her, from her, just roll over. But
yeah, I
would have
snapped.
Time,
I would have snapped there, too. Yeah.
Yeah, at that point in time, it was just like, bam, you know, fuck, you know, I flicked her off, I was cussing, all the, girl, please. And, so I went my, you know, my brother had to basically separate us and sit me over the corner.
So did you choke her?
No, but I was very close. Now, fast forward to that night, we squashed it, right? We all go off to the waterfront because there's a water festival there. Later on that evening, my 16-year-old cousin gets jumped by, like, 9 people. And all of us mobilized. And needless to say, we have court dates, and I might have to come in, come back as a witness.
Really?
Yeah. That's how my family rolls at funerals, bitches.
Oh, wait, so what happened? So you got into a fight, and now you have a court date, and it's with your mom.
No, actually, my mom was there, but she wasn't the cause of it. But, yeah, we all got to come back to South Carolina.
Well,
yeah. So
let me
ask
you a question. Did you have lesbian sex with anybody?
No, I was with family members. What am I having
on? Well, see, that's a shitty story, yeah.
They're not like a really hot cousin you wanted to?
Yeah,
you
like
know,
incestual lesbianism,
yeah,
maybe?
Even just
I got hot cousins, and yes, I got lesbians as cousins, so.
Well,
got hot lesbian cousins. Well,
ratings,
you know.
People, ratings.
Exactly. This is sweet,
and
sweet here on Blog Talk Radio.
And she's a nurse, so she knows she's got a good job. You know, she is a nurse, so, you know, she wants a sugar daddy, which none of y'all qualify, period.
Nope, not even if you combined the three of us. First of all, our income is just two, because Mike and Mick work. And charm is negativity. Jesus.
But she was down. She was down. She was on some gutter stuff. Me and my brother are the black sheep, and we were the Wonder Twins of Mayhem that
black
weekend.
Sheep.
Yes, the black sheep of the black family.
So wait a second. You are the black family. Like, you are the representative of black families everywhere. You're the black family.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
So you never met your dad, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I never met my biological dad.
Not the well, there we go. Yes, actually, damn.
I'm very black, despite how it sounds.
Louis, see, here's the thing. Here's what's awesome. You haven't met your biological dad, and the rest of us on this show wish we never met our biological dad.
Yeah, really. Correct, Almighty. I don't know if that's true for Mick, but I know Mike and I definitely.
Yeah, I'm actually, I wish I never met their biological dads either, come to think of it.
Yeah.
Well, knowing my mom, I can probably understand why he left.
Well, actually, Mick has a really good relationship with his dad. He lives in his dad's basement, and I think they say hello to each other when they leave. So.
Oh.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's a wonderful relationship.
Wait, do you guys watch sports together, Mick? Is there any sport watching that you engage in with your dad?
Not anymore. He used to fight too often.
Because you used to fight too often?
Yeah.
You because fought with... I still can't believe, like, you actually argue with anybody. You're such like a sweet dude. I honestly can't see you...
Let me tell you the straw that broke my back as far as having anything of a normal relationship with my father. My father bet on a game one time, and he lost. And he's cursing the storm for like 10 or 15 minutes.
North Columbus Avenue.
And he turns to me and he says, if you weren't here, this wouldn't have happened. And I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, you know not to sit on my right side when I'm watching the game.
So wait, it's your fault for sitting on his right side that his team lost?
Yes, and I said to him, wait, are you seriously telling me that the reason why you think they didn't win is because I'm sitting on your right side? And he goes, well, I don't know what else it could be. And I was like, okay, I need to leave this house before I kill you. And that's what I did.
Your dad is insane. He's absolutely right, but he's insane.
Yeah, this was like, God, this had to be like...
Was it here at this moment or ever in life?
I actually took my little brother to my mom's house because I was like, you need to not stay with... Because at the time, like, my little brother was staying with my dad and my mom was staying in her own place. And I was like, yeah, you need to go to mommy's house because I can't, in good conscience, let you stay here and live with this man because he's out of his fucking mind. So I left and I brought my brother to my mother's house.
So basically, your dad was telling you in a roundabout way he wished he was never born.
No, he said that directly to him before. That wasn't...
Exactly.
You were a mistake.
Wow. That's actually quite psychotic. That's the kind of shit that like people whose fathers are cops, those are the kind of stories that they have. Like my uncle was a cop in Yonkers and he was like, he would get freaked out over like if he came home and the magazine that was on the table was moved like an inch to the right, like he would freak out. And my aunt came home once and he had taken a sledgehammer to the wall behind the couch in the living room and knocked a hole out directly to the outside of the house. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, a window should be here. I decided a window should be here.
That's interesting.
And then they got into a huge fight because my cousin, moved her bed to the other side of the room because she was rearranging her room. She was like, I don't know, 15 or whatever, which it doesn't really matter how old you are. You know? You want your bed in a certain place, you put your bed in a certain place. He flipped out, he went up there and he moved her bed back, just because. So, like, he got into a war with my aunt about the bed being in a certain place, because it just had to be. Everything had to be there.
White people are crazy.
Yes. Well, you just talk about how crazy your mother is, bitch. It ain't just white people.
Yeah, I know, my mom's nuts. She should be white, but she's not.
What were you saying, Nick? You were going to say something?
No, it's just, yeah. And people wonder why we end up the way we are. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, my adopted dad.
Okay, I don't know if you want to talk about this, Mick, but I've been wanting to get this information out of you forever. And considering nobody listens to the show, I think it would be a great place for you to talk about it. Mick told me that he can't drink with his brother, like his youngest brother. He can't drink with them because, the last time he drank with his youngest brother, like, they got into a fight and cops had to be called and shit. And I find that crazy. Just, yeah, go on.
Can I tell you, such a bad time for me to tell the story because I swear I have, like, 2% battery on my phone, but I'll try to get it in as much as I can before my phone dies.
Okay.
So my little brother is, I don't even know how to explain him. He has some sort of, I hate to say, like, disorder. But he's the kind of person who can sit in his basement and drink a 12-pack of beer and be completely fine. However,
that's my brother.
If he goes outside and drinks, he becomes a fucking maniac. Like, I don't know if he just can't control, like, his emotions or whatever it is, but, like, when he goes out and drinks, he's a fucking crazy person. So the first time we went out to a bar, he got kicked out. Because instead of putting the tip on the bar, he literally took the $2 for a tip and threw them at the bartender.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so the bartender kicked
us
out. That was the first time we went out drinking. And the second time was New Year's of 2 years ago. And we went to Maggie's, which is a bar in Fleetwood, as you know, Mike.
Yeah.
And he was just being, you know, his crazy, outlandish self. So my sister and I and Fred, her boyfriend, decided to go to Mazzy's across the street.
Welcome back, Lou, by the
way. So the three of us are at Mazzy's, and it's probably like 2 o'clock in the morning at this point. And we hear all this commotion that there's an ambulance at Maggie's. Go over there and find out that somebody threw my brother on the ground, and he hit his head and had to get brought to the hospital. So the three of us drive to the hospital to meet him, and he's okay. He's, like, conscious. He's awake. But he's, like, totally, like, defiant and arrogant and obnoxious. And he's like, I'm not fucking staying here, blah, blah, blah. He needs to get, like, staples in his head. And he's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. So he literally just, like, the nurse is like, okay, hold on. I'm going to go get the doctor. And my brother gets up and leaves. So, but we follow him. We end up getting home. By this time, it had to be, like, 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. We're all still buzzed, and we're all super annoyed and aggravated at this whole situation. And he's basically just cursing up the storm and saying how everybody, all of us, meaning like me and my sister, blew the whole thing out of proportion. And we're like, dude, how is it blowing something out of proportion when you have an ambulance come to get you because you got your head smacked into the floor and you need to go to the hospital and get staples and all this stuff? So he's just
talking shit.
So finally, I was like, he went downstairs and I was like, you better stay down there or I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
So sure enough, and believe me, like, Mick's younger brother is one of the few people Mick can actually beat the shit out of.
Well, yeah, probably. Well, except he's wiry. He's strong for...
He's wiry, I guarantee you you're stronger than him.
Well,
guarantee
here's the thing. So sure enough, I hear him coming up the stairs. Because as soon as I said that, he like, charged up the stairs at me to, like, confront me. So I kind of, like, wrestled him onto the ground. And I'm trying to...
And you guys
like
made sweet love after that, I bet.
Exactly.
Sweet, beautiful,
well,
wonderful love.
I didn't throw any punches. I didn't try to hurt him. I just tried to, like, subdue him. Like, I basically held him down and tried to get him, like, yo, calm the fuck down. Like, I'm not your enemy. Like, just fucking relax. And he is, like, screaming at the top of his lungs. And he's like, I swear to God, if you don't get off me, I'm going to fucking kill you. When you get off, you know, when you leave... You know, when you love me, I'm going to fucking stab you in the throat. And I'm just like, dude, you are fucking way, like, over the line. Like, we're starting into, like a normal brotherly fight, and now you're talking about murdering me. Like, I don't think it should have ever gotten to that level. I'm like, there's something fucking wrong with you. So,
right.
So sure enough, like, and of course my mother's, like, freaking out during this whole exchange.
Yeah, crying, you know.
Yeah, and so I said
her
to
least,
my daughter,
her
I'm
least
like,
favorite son's about to get killed by her most favorite son. I mean, it's terrible.
So I told her, I'm like, listen, Ma, call the cops and get them over here and let them do something with him because he's fucking out of control. Like, he needs to be, like, I think he should be in a mental hospital more than, like, a regular hospital at this point because he's fucking out of his mind. So the cops come and they basically... And again, my brother is still yelling while the cops are here. And I'm just like, I'm just trying to get him to calm down and not kill me. Like, that's really my role in this at this point. And so the cops came, and they basically told me to sleep somewhere else for the night. They're like, all right, before I
leave,
you're going to
sleep somewhere else for the night?
Yeah, they told me to go somewhere else for the night.
Yeah, they told me.
What?
Why you? Why did they make you go sleep somewhere else?
I don't know. I don't know. Cause I guess they didn't want him to go anywhere because he was kind of still in his crazy emotional state and they didn't know what he would do if he was somewhere else besides his own house.
You should have just knocked him the fuck out. Just cock his little ass.
Wait,
you can't do that. I mean, you're threatening to stab you in the throat, you retard. Clock him.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a justified risk. There is no court in the world that he just threatened to stab you in the throat as soon as you turned around. So you turn around and knock him the fuck out. That's standard behavior. That's righteous.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but like I said, I legit think he has some sort of like thing where he can't control himself in those situations. Like, I really think it's
kind of like my brother. My brother's a raging, like, that boy goes crazy. Let me tell you, was at a convenience store.
Hold on, before you go into that story, this Nick's story would have been so much more badass if he had knocked his... First, like, he may regret it, but let me tell you something. Everybody else would not have regretted Mick knocking him out at that point. That would have been a beautiful end to that story about you feeling bad for your psychotic brother who is threatening to stab you in the throat. I didn't want to hit him because he's my brother who's going to stab me in the throat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it was anybody else, fine, but I couldn't do that to him. I couldn't.
No, you should have. You should talk to that a lesson.
Mike, yeah, you should tell the Fight Club story. Have we told a Fight Club story before?
What was that?
Yeah, okay, I'll tell the Fight Club story real quick. So Louie and I are down in Pennsylvania. We're in Philly, and we're hanging out with all our friends down there, and one of them is his cousin Rob. And Rob and I had gone to the grocery store earlier, and Rob was always broke at that point. He never had any fucking money. He's always asking people for shit and whatnot, like a lot of those kids, actually. A lot of those kids are like that. So we go to the grocery store, and I pick up a whole bunch of pizza rolls. And I'm like, awesome. So we leave, and we go back to the place. And what I didn't realize is that Rob had also bought some pizza rolls. I had no idea he did that because he didn't have any money. He really wasn't away from me at all while I was in the grocery store. He was kind of hanging around me. So, and I didn't see anything in his hands when we left. So we get back to the apartment, and I go up to Rob while everybody's there. We're watching Fight Club, and I'm like, dude, I was like, go heat up some of those pizza rolls. And you and me will share them. Like, I figured, okay, I bought them. He'll go heat them up, and then we'll share them. Like, he can have some because he went and heated them up for me. So he comes back, and he's sitting down on the couch, and he's eating these pizza rolls, and he's, like, shoving them in his face, and he's not giving me any. And I'm starting to get kind of pissed off. Like, this little motherfucker heated up my goddamn pizza rolls. He didn't give me any, that little shit. So when I was like, yo, Rob. I was like, Rob, yo, let me get some of them pizza rolls, man. And he's like, no. I'm like, I know this little motherfucker didn't just tell me I can't even have some of my own goddamn pizza rolls. I was like, Rob, give me some of them shits. He's like, no. And he's like putting them in, like looking me in the eye while he's putting them in his mouth. So I went and I grabbed like a couple of them off his plate. And he flipped out. I thought he was joking. But he flipped out and he got up and he started like flailing his little ineffectual hands at me. And, like, slapping me, and like, on the chest and shit.
Yeah. Well, you've got to put it in context. I mean, Mick towers over him both, like, in height and in, like, male prowess. You know, not, you know, not Mick, but, you know, he is 5
Mick
foot.
Mick does?
Yeah.
Mick sure. does? Oh, yeah, Mick. Yeah, Mick is even bigger than him. Yeah, Mick is bigger than him, yeah.
Mick
yeah, this guy, and Mick is short,
more.
So. Rob is tiny. Like, Lou's cousin Rob is tiny. He's a little man.
Yeah. Short, who was definitely skinny back then because he was all cracked out.
Yeah, he was pretty cracked out at the time. So,
he was like a little boy.
He was like a little... So he's like, finally, and I thought he was joking. Like, I really thought it was a joke, and I didn't take it seriously. And then he kind of hit me in the face with his slaps. And while it didn't hurt, like, it got my attention. I was like, oh, shit, he's for real. So I literally threw him across the room. I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
I threw him across the room.
Like a little boombox type of thing, one of those like little CD changer things. He landed into one of those. And then
he
I proceeded to punch Mike in the neck, I think it was.
He and I guess all Louis saw was me throwing his cousin across the room. I mean, there was no context for that, really. Nobody else was privy to what was happening, so... Louis jumps up, and he punches me, like, in the side of the face, like, in the neck. And that also got my attention. It didn't do anything, but I turned and looked at him. I was like, what the fuck?
And I looked at Lou,
and Lou looked back at me, and he was like, he had this look on his face, like, I don't know either. Like, why did I do that?
What's going on here?
And I was shocked at myself,
the situation. It was weird.
Like, you have to understand also that Rob has always been small, and Louis is always, I mean, to lose credit and detriment, he's always kind of watched over this kid. Like, there's been quite a few times where Lou has gone way above and beyond to protect this kid from mostly himself. But, he's always kind of had to watch over this kid because Rob is and always has been kind of a mess. So, you know, he sees my big, dumb, white ass throwing Rob across the room, and he's like, what the fuck? So he got up, and he hit me with his little fucking toothpick weasel hands and didn't do anything. So I turned over, and I was like, what the fuck? No, I didn't really do that. But, you know, I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he was like, I don't know. And I was like, what the fuck? And I just left. I was like, fuck this shit. Puerto Rican love. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, Louis drove me down here. How am I going to get home? I don't know what's going to happen. I went to 7-Eleven. I smoked, like, a whole pack of cigarettes in, like, fucking half an hour. I walk back, and I'm sitting outside in the fucking – I'm not even sure if I should go back inside the apartment. Finally, I go back inside the apartment. As soon as I walk in, everybody starts laughing. Everybody is laughing.
I think we were all laughing.
A big joke. Probably.
Yeah, it was just
that made you angrier, didn't it? That would have pissed me off.
I was just like, well, it was a ridiculous situation to start off with, and it was just like once the tension had dispelled, it was just like, what the fuck just happened? This is ridiculous. Like, this is stupid.
Right.
Precursor to that was that we were watching Fight Club, and Mike had never seen Fight Club. And one or two other people had never seen Fight Club. And we were all talking as we were watching it before that, minutes before, that we should start our own Fight Club.
Yeah, we kind of were saying that. It was kind of testosterone-y, I think, at that point.
Yeah, definitely. We're like, Fight Club. And so I guess Rob, being a dick, also, you know, he was on drugs.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, you also told me that he had a thing about his food too. I mean, like he had a problem with like.
Yeah, he was an adult, not a grown ass man, but he was an adult. He shouldn't have.
Yeah, no, you're right, and you're right about that. But Rob had like the runt of the litter syndrome, which is, you know, like if somebody tries to, people have probably actually taken his food before, so he barks at them, you know, like a little dog trying to protect his food dish.
Exactly.
So, you know, and you know, obviously afterwards I was like, Rob, I didn't know you bought any of that shit. Like, I thought you were just eating all my fucking pizza rolls. And he's like, no, I bought that shit too. I honestly don't know if he actually ever did buy the pizza rolls. I mean, I'm just assuming that he wasn't bullshitting me, but, I mean, who fucking knows?
He might have had them already. I think it was like he had some already. I don't know.
But you did say he was on drugs, and people who are on drugs swear things are theirs when it's not.
Oh, sure. At the time, he was doing a lot of coke.
He was doing a lot of coke. But even a coked-up Rob couldn't contend with me, like, at all. When he started his slap attack, like, I really thought it was joking. I was laughing while he was hitting me until he hit me in the face, and I was like, oh. And then I threw him across the room, the entire length of the room. He flew.
It was literally a good 10 feet.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It was. It crashed into a radio. It was his own fault.
I mean, I'm known for throwing people across rooms, though. Like, I do that.
Well, Barnes & Noble time, tell them about that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, we only have two minutes left.
Next time, Barnes & Noble.
We only have 2 minutes left.
Someone go to
my final Barnes & Noble store. Yeah, I threw a customer across the store.
Oh.
I had to.
And next time, I'll tell you the story when my brother trashed the convenience store.
When he what? When he tried to what?
Trashed a convenience store.
Nice.
Your brother trashed a convenience store.
He fucking went nuts. He went nuts. And guess what? He didn't get caught either.
Nice. Damn.
Wow. A black man trashed a convenience store and didn't get caught.
And got away with it. And got away with it.
Wow. I'm actually
Andy
proud
had
of
a white boy.
For that.
I am. And he got a white boy. You know, he had a white boy with him, and the white boy almost messed it up for him.
Damn.
But that's for another time.
Well, there's a black kid in a prison right now who fit the description and was convicted.
No, the police.
Probably.
There's probably like three of them.
You have to remember that's on your agenda for next show, Christy. That's your topic for the next show. Tell the story about how your brother trashed a convenience store.
He's tripping.
All right, lady. Three, two.
All right, folks.
One.
Have a good day. Adios.
Bye bye.